Spirit, come. Blow in this place like a mighty wind this morning, transforming us, changing our hearts and lives so that as we are transformed by having been in your presence and being with one another, we may go out into the world and love may be the loudest voice the world hears. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. And now let us affirm our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed on the screen before you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Continuation of the reading from Acts 2 about that first Pentecost. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. So we enter into a time of prayer this morning, and certainly it gives us opportunity today especially to remember the church, both our congregation here as the people of Trinity, and also the church universal. I would also invite you to pray for our denomination today, the United Methodist Church. We mentioned last week that This year is the 50th anniversary of the forming of the United Methodist Church through a uniting of the Methodist Church and the Evangelical United Brethren, or EUB Church. So I brought with me this morning the constituting book of discipline that made us the church that we are from 1968. And I found it interesting as I was looking back in this first book of discipline of the UMC, in the very opening pages, in the Episcopal greetings, it says this in one of the opening paragraphs, which I find to be both a hopeful and also honest and humble statement. The churches forming the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical United Brethren Church, and the Methodist Church bear the marks of change. We trust it has been changed with a purpose, that the prophetic voice of the Holy Spirit has been heard and obeyed, that our obedience has not always been forthright and straight line, we acknowledge with deep regret. The same could certainly be said of us today, and so we pray today that we, as Trinity, and we as the United Methodist Church, and we as the Global Church, might seek to be more obedient and forthright in all of the ways in which we represent Christ to the world. I invite you to also remember today the people whose names you see on the screens, members of our congregation who are in need of care. I also would invite you to be in prayer for our team that is in Cuba currently. Several members of our congregation are there on mission. And also, in addition to them, I just learned yesterday, you may have heard over the weekend about a plane crash that happened in Cuba. Over 100 persons lost their lives in that plane crash. And I learned yesterday from Jim Cook that there were 10 Cuban pastors and their spouses who were on board that plane. So there is much grief, sadness in our sister country of Cuba, so I would invite you to be in prayer for them. Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, we come to this time of prayer and seek to offer ourselves, our full selves, to you and to the bending of your will, so that it might be done in our lives and in our church. We know that this is a work of the Spirit, the gift that we acknowledge on this day and the gift that we all need if we are to be faithful as followers of Christ. And so we ask your blessing on this day. Not the blessing of what we each might want, but the blessing of what we need in order to live into full obedience to you. So now make our ears and eyes attentive. Engage all of our senses as we worship today, that when we leave this place, we might know that we have encountered you, and that because of that encounter, we will walk out differently. God, as your church, we bind ourselves together through the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Though I may speak with bravest heart and have a greed to all inspire and have not heard thy words or reign as some
It is our joy and our opportunity as a part of our worship to offer gifts, gifts that become a part of the church's ministries in ways that impact not only this community of faith, but the world around us. Would you pray with me over these offerings this morning? Oh God, we give you thanks for the abundance of blessing that you pour out into our lives, and pray that you would take what we offer today and use it for the sake of drawing others nearer to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. gets you excited and makes you want to be a burning and a burning, doesn't it? This morning, as we celebrate Pentecost, we are reminded of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to each one of us. And so one of the scripture readings for this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll be reading from part of verses 3 through 13, and I invite you to follow along with me on the screens. I'm actually going to start with the second part of verse 3, because the first part of verse 3 takes some more explaining, so the scripture reading is actually, go back one slide, you're right. So no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge to another, according to the same Spirit. Faith to still another by the same Spirit. Healing of gifts to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another. The ability to tell spirits apart to another. Different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. The body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body. Even though they are many, we were all baptized into one Spirit, by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me this morning in sharing this message with you as I pray for you in receiving it. Let's pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yesterday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time, the eyes of the world, at least many of them, were watching the royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And yet, as people were writing about the wedding, many reporters said that it was the Reverend Bishop Michael Curry who stole the show with his very informal and engaging style of preaching and with his clarion call to love. In his sermon, his homily, he talked about fire and the power of fire and how it was the discovery of fire that revolutionized, that changed the world. He referenced Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a scientist and Roman Catholic priest, who said that if humanity ever captures the energy of love, then for a second time in history, we will have discovered fire. Because love is the very fire and energy that will make of this old world a new world. You know, I can't think of the discovery of fire without thinking about the movie Cast Away. Many of you are probably familiar with that movie. Tom Hanks plays the lone survivor of a FedEx plane crash, and he ends up on this deserted island for literally months. And there's one scene where he is desperately trying to make fire, and he is rubbing and rubbing on a stick until finally he does get a spark, and he makes fire. There's a little flame, and then later he builds this big bonfire, and there's this scene of him dancing around the bonfire, having his own dance party, and he says, "Fire! Light it up! Come on! Fire!" He's so very excited about the ability to make fire. In the book of Acts, we get the account of the first Pentecost. And we're given a picture of this fire of love which can make of our old world a new world. Luke, the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, describes the very first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Each person present that day appeared to have a tongue of fire resting on their head. And the immediate effect of that was that people from all over the known world, you hear that list that Steve read in the scripture? All people from all over the known world began speaking in a language that was not their own language. And that resulted in everyone being able to understand in their own native tongue. In the chaos and confusion, somehow the Spirit brought understanding. Understanding that engendered courage and passion to share the good news. Can you imagine everyone in this room speaking in a language that wasn't their own? It must have seemed like chaos. In fact, it was so bizarre that some people there thought that everybody must be drunk, that they are filled with new wine, the scripture says. But Peter speaks up and he assured the crowd that no, these people are not drunk, as you would assume. He says, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, it is God pouring out the Spirit on all flesh. And somehow that fire did light it up. And it began to change. Remember, prior to this, the disciples had been all huddled together behind closed doors. The death of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, literally knocked the wind out of them. And then they celebrate the resurrection and are so overjoyed only to lose Christ again when he ascends to go and be with God. So for 7 weeks, for 50 days, they have been waiting and sequestered in prayer behind closed doors. But when the Spirit poured out, they came out of seclusion and they are filled with passion and courage unknown to them before. They are so empowered and passionate about sharing the good news that their courage and enthusiasm sparks a fire that changes the world. We need not look any further than Peter that very first day to see that change. You probably remember that one of the last images that we have of Peter is of him in the courtyard on the night that Jesus was arrested, the night before his crucifixion. And he doesn't even have the courage to admit to a slave girl that he is a follower of Christ. But when he cannot speak to a woman in the dark of night, somehow by the power of the Spirit, just over 7 weeks later, he is able to preach to a massive crowd in the light of day. Through the Holy Spirit, this once cowardice disciple is now a man of holy boldness. This man who had no tongue now preaches to crowds about the mighty works of God. How can that be? Well, the fire of the Holy Spirit can change our old world into a new one. The Holy Spirit can light us up and pour out gifts on us. We see evidence of that throughout history. One example that we have a real affinity for as United Methodists is that of John Wesley. Wesley was a priest in the Church of England in the 18th century. And he went on a mission to spread the good news here in the new land of America. And he returned to England, sure that his mission had been an utter failure. And in many ways, for John Wesley, it was. He returned to England beaten down and dejected. And then at some point, he learned that his old friends and his traveling companions on a journey across the ocean, the Moravians, were having a prayer meeting. And these Moravians were people who he had experienced as deeply devout and prayerful Christians. He believed they had this inner strength and passion that he somehow lacked. And so he sought them out, and he went to a prayer meeting with them one evening in London. That prayer meeting was on May 24th, 1738. That's 280 years ago this coming Thursday. And it was at that meeting that Wesley said he felt his heart was strangely warmed. He might as well have said that he felt the Spirit light him up, because it was the power of the Holy Spirit that night gave him this boldness and revolutionized the look and feel of Wesley's ministry. He became an impassioned teacher and preacher, going out into the streets instead of staying and preaching in the church, which was practically heretical at the time. He was passionate about service and justice, and his message traveled across the English countryside and invoked a reformation and a spiritual awakening that spread like wildfire all across England and then back over the pond to the new America. He began this movement, which continues to this day. You see, the fire of the Spirit can move us to be more courageous and more passionate. It can light a fire within us to shape a future that is more faithful and more loving. In Corinthians that I read this morning, Paul writes, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Remember, a tongue of fire rested on the heads of each one of them. Each one was given a gift of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are different and varied. Some are more quiet and unobtrusive, and some are more bold and loud and visible. But all of us can be filled with this passion and inner boldness. All of them can light us up. It says in verse 11, all of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. Our call to be open to the Spirit, to be open to that holy passion burning within us, and then to act on it for the common good. So what does that mean for us today? What would it look like today if all of the people gathered, if all of the gathered people of Trinity were to speak in a language that was not our own, in order for everyone to understand in their own native language? What would that look like? You all may know Sue Halpert Johnson. Sue is now the Bishop of the North Georgia Conference, but she was the district superintendent of this area prior to that, and she's married to Alan Johnson, who grew up at Trinity, and she went to Trinity years ago when she was in college. And Sue says this. She says, every church ought to offer at least one worship service that those who are currently attending the church do not want to attend. That is speaking a language that is not our own. What would it look like for us as a church to offer worship in a style that is not our own, so that others could hear the good news? What would it look like for us to boldly witness to our faith? You know, for us it's very comfortable to stay sequestered within these walls and on this beautiful property that we have. It's easy to assume that people will come to us. What would it look like for us to be so on fire that we went out into the community to witness to our faith? What would it look like if we moved some of our Bible studies and small groups and yoga chapel out into the community? What would it look like if we were meeting in coffee shops and parks and public places and restaurants, and then inviting others and welcoming others to join in with us? What would it look like if we were so excited about our faith that we couldn't help but invite our friends and colleagues and neighbors and co-workers to come to worship with us? What would it look like if our enthusiasm was so contagious that others wanted to know and experience what it is that makes us different? Michael Frost says that we as followers of Christ have to live a questionable life. And by that he means that we should live a life that makes others question. Question why we do what we do, and why we are who we are, and makes them want to have what we have. Our witness should be contagious. You know, today we celebrate the gift of tongues of fire and the birth of the church. And it feels to me like we are at a very significant moment in the history and life of the church. You know, last year we celebrated the 200th anniversary of the Reformation. And next year, Trinity, this congregation, will celebrate 60 years of being a church and 20 years of being here on this property. This year, as Steve said, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the uniting of two denominations, humbly and prayerfully. The EUB and the Methodist Church came together to form the United Methodist Church. And yet, as we celebrate that, we do that in a year in our United Methodist Church is contemplating contemplating whether to remain as one denomination or let the understanding of human sexuality divide us into two or more other denominations. seems to me that at this moment in time, it is more important than ever to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the discernment of the Spirit to lead us to love in a way that we can't even begin to imagine. We need the courage of the Holy Spirit to go out into the world to be a witness. We need the passion of the Spirit to empower us to live a questionable life. We need to be lit up by the Spirit. There's a story in the church about, it's the ancient church, about the desert fathers and mothers. We call them the Abbas and the Amas, those monastics who live a contemplative life in the desert. It's about one Abba who comes to another Abba and shares about his faithfulness and then asks what the Spirit might have in store for him, what he should do. Abba Lot came to Abba Joseph and said, "Father, according as I am able, I keep my little rule and my little fast, my prayer, meditation, and contemplative silence. And according as I am able, I strive to cleanse my heart from thoughts. Now, what more should I do?" And the elder rose up in reply and reached his hands up to heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said, "Why not be changed into fire?" It is Pentecost today, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the fire burning within us. What more can you do? Be outward focused and outpour love. Be courageous and share the good news. Be passionate and live a questionable life so that others will want what you have. Light it up. Why not be turned into fire? Gracious and loving God, you look all around us and we see a world in need of your grace and love. A world in need of knowing Jesus Christ. So this morning, O God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us courage and passion. To be open, to share the good news with others, to lead a life that makes others want to know who we are and why we are the way we are. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Power of
came from heaven to earth to show the disciples and all of us, by extension, all that we need to make of this old world a new world. The first time Jesus gathered with the disciples in the upper room, he gave them a new mandate to love one another in the example that Jesus had set for them. And then, of course, we know before his ascension, he gave them the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all the world. And then in that same upper room where Jesus had given the new commandment, where the disciples had been praying, the gift of the Holy Spirit descended upon them to attune them by the presence and power of God's Spirit to who they had been created to be, to who they had been gifted and who they had been called to be in the world. And so we remember that night that Jesus sat in the upper room with the disciples and he took a loaf of bread and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven. And he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here like you did on those disciples gathered in the upper room. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. And this morning, may your Spirit consecrate these elements. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Send us out into the world on fire for you, on fire for the mission that you have set before us, so that this old world might be till we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through the power of the presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be helping us serve communion this morning to please come forward and make the stations ready. And as they come, let me share with you that in the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or of any United Methodist Church or any church for that matter. You come at the invitation of God's Spirit to receive the grace that God has for you this morning. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means the server will tear off a piece of bread and place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip that bread into the cup to receive the elements together. We ask that you exit your rows to the left and return to the right, beginning with the front and working our way back, coming to the station that is nearest your section. And if gluten-free is a need that you have, please let us know. There are stations here and here if that is a need that you have. But you are invited to come. All is ready. Thank you. Gracious God, having been nourished by the same grace offered the disciples the first night in the upper room, may we rise from this table and go out into the world empowered, equipped by the same Spirit that descended upon the disciples in that same upper room. May we make your love real in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn together. As you go out this morning, may you go with boldness. May you go with passion. May you go and live a questionable life with the power of the Holy Spirit filling all your frame and the love of God, the evident flame in all that you say and do. Go now and may the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.